MC, you're doing some doctoral work on wetlands up in the oil sands area. What exactly are you looking at?
I am looking at comparing the vegetation composition in the wetlands that have been created on the post-mine landscape. And I want basically to know if the vegetation that grows in those created wetlands is comparable to the one that we found in natural wetlands of the same area. Because the government of Alberta is requiring the oil sands of Alberta to reclaim landscape, and specifically wetlands, are equivalent to the one that were found before the beginning of the oil sands industry activity. So basically, we want to be sure that what grows in the created wetlands is equivalent to what is found in the natural wetlands.
Can you describe a created wetland for me? What kind of water is in it?
So there's different type of created wetlands. Well, most of them are simply a hole that have been digged. And some of those wetlands, because, again, they're a prototype to test the effects of the addition of different process material, they have been filled with this process material, the byproduct of oil sands extraction. So sometimes those wetlands that have been created contain a substrate that is not like a normal substrate that we've found. It is definitely just a substrate that is coming from a byproduct of the oil sands. So they just put that in there and fill it with natural water or water that we call processed water. So a water, again, that is a byproduct of oil extraction. And so we have different wetlands with different substrates, sometimes, as I mentioned, more industrial substrate and sometimes a bit more what we can say natural. So we have a variety of wetlands that offers us plenty of possibility to test the effect of those different type of substrates and water on biota. My part is studying on vegetation, but my colleagues are studying bugs and tons of other things.
How did you actually set up your study?
Okay, so basically what I do is that I selected three types of wetlands. So two types of wetlands that are said created. So the oil sands of industry have created those type of wetlands. Some have received the tailings, as I mentioned earlier, and other do not contain this tailings. And so what I do is that I compare the vegetation composition of those wetlands to the natural wetlands. And so what I do, I just put my rubber boots in, just go in the wetlands, and each zone of the wetlands, which are usually the open water zone, the emergent zones, and the wet meadow zones, are studied. So I have a 1 meter square of vegetation that I'm assessing in each of those zones. And so, I just gather information like that. In total, I sampled 45 wetlands. So, and then at the end of the day, I just compile my data and do some vegetation composition comparison.
What kind of vegetation did you find in these different wetlands?
Well, first, when we take, let's say, the open water zone, so most of this zone is composed of plants that are completely submerged in the water. When I compare this vegetation in created wetlands that have received tailings to the other types of wetlands, I quickly realized that those wetlands are less diverse in species diversity. And not only they're less diverse, but they are also colonized by species that we don't find usually in natural wetlands and in wetlands that do not contain that tailing. So, it is quite an interesting result, because obviously if we come back to the objective, that is to reclaim wetlands that are equivalent to the natural ones, then this might not happen for the open water zones. And we get about the same story for the emergent zone as well, where, again, the species that grows in wetlands that have received this tailing obviously present a completely different vegetation than the one found in the emergent zone of natural wetlands.
And in your presentation, you also said that the sort of the wet meadow area, which is kind of the transition between the water and the upland, that it wasn't even present. What accounts for that?
Yes, I have to admit that those wetlands were constructed perhaps 25 or 30 years ago. So I think perhaps at this moment, the knowledge about wetlands were maybe not where it is right now. And so the reason why there's not much of this wet meadow zone right now, it's simply a reason of the way they built the actual morphology of the basins of the wetlands. Usually when I go in the natural wetlands, wetlands are a fairly flat ecosystem. I mean, the water, obviously, there's a little dip in the landscape where the water accumulates, but this is a fairly flat, there's no slope in a wetland, if I can say. The wetlands are constructed, that have been constructed 30 years ago, didn't really follow the model found in the natural area. So most of the time, the morphology of the basins is present much more steeper slopes, and so it doesn't allow the water table to raise as much as it should do when, for example, there's a rain or something like that. So basically what happened is that vegetation that would grow in natural wet meadow zones do not have enough water to simply grow in the wet meadow zones of those constructed wetlands. So basically, it could be an easy fix if we just plan really well the morphology of our basin. So that's at least a really good news.
And what do you think the difference in the water makes on the plants or the types of plants that are going to be there or not be there?
There's a beautiful paper written by Susan Bailey, which is a professor at the University of Alberta, who definitely shows that salinity in this tailings water is quite high and definitely affect vegetation composition, because obviously plant species are very, very specific about salinity and their tolerance to it. So this is a big element that is really important because obviously the tailings water is really high in salinity, and this will definitely affect the vegetation that we can find. So this is one element of the water chemistry. And there's still some studies that are going on right now that are testing specifically other components of that water. But again, I think we're really at an early stage right now in terms of analyzing the specificity of the water chemistry in relation to vegetation diversity. We're not quite there yet, but maybe in the future.
So what do you think is the next step?
The next step is, I think, specifically, once I heard a beautiful talk given by Rose, is that she was able to identify species that are growing quite well in the wetlands. And I think that the next step is to really understand why specifically some species are not present in the created wetlands. We know that tailings have an effect now on vegetation composition, but we can push it a little farther and wondering if we can force, quote unquote, some species to actually colonize those wetlands and increase the species diversity. Really. So I think the next step is really important, because it's going to be one of action rather than one of acquiring knowledge. Because I think this is where science is becoming really useful. It's when we, you know, gather all the information that we have been collecting during the last 5-10 years and now use them in action. And so I think it will be really important to just go in the field and start planting plants and, you know, get our boots wet and do some real work in the field. So I think that's where it should go right now.
Thank you very much, MC.
Thank you so much.